Fatima, where heaven and earth have met. Since the day our Blessed Mother visited her cousin Elizabeth, she has never stopped visiting her people and care for them in time of need, reminding them of the gospel of her Son. This happened in Guadalupe, Mexico, and then in Lourdes, France. Let us now hear what was the purpose and message of her visitation in Fatima on every 13th of the month from May to October in 1917. Here now is the director of Radio Maria Canada, Father George Amaro.
Welcome, brothers and sisters, to another program about Fatima. This will be the episode 49, and we are dealing with the intervention of God in human history. And of course, this is, although it's an apparition of our Blessed Mother, she doesn't come with her own program. Not even Jesus came with his own program. It's the Holy Trinity program. And so it's the program of the Holy Trinity, the program of God. And she is, in this case, a messenger, like a prophet. The only difference between Mary and the prophets is that the prophets were sprung up from the earth in a religious idea, people that God inspired, that God guided, that let be guided by the Holy Spirit. And they did the will of God to the people, and the message of God. The prophets always start their message, God told me to tell you. But that is from the earth. I mean, a prophet is born here and his message is somehow caught by his antenna, like he has a special relationship with God, so he is guided by God. But the case of Mary also being a prophet is she comes from heaven, and that's the difference. The prophets come from the earth. Mary, in the apparitions, she comes from heaven. As a matter of fact, when Lucia asked her, "Where are you from?" And she said, "I am from heaven." So she comes from heaven with a heavenly message that is a God's message. So this intervention of Fatima, as you have heard, that it was a social and political intervention of heaven on earth, it is done. Was done by means of our Blessed Mother, as the salvation came by means of our Blessed Mother. Salvation being Jesus came by means of our Blessed Mother too. And so the salvation for this date and time in the 20th century came also from God through Mary. And so what I'm trying to do this 49 episode is to give you a picture of what was the 20th century, because Fatima is not about something that happened from the 13th of May to the 13th of October 1917. But in those were the times of the prophecies. Those times, especially July, the apparition of July, is when the prophecies were done. When the prophecies, when Mary was a prophet, and she chose three little children to be her prophets, to act out her message. And so Mary is the means and the prophet that brings the message. The three children are the ones that execute it, and the prophecy is going to be executed by throughout the 20th century. So the historical intervention was not on the 17, on the year 17. The historical intervention was seen and perceived, and I will tell you about it, throughout the 20th century, up to when John Paul II and Lucia passed away. And that was in the beginning of 2005. They passed away 2 months apart from each other, and that was, I believe, the end of Fatima in as far as the social intervention for the 20th century. So we what do we have in this 20th century? Well, I can sum up already in two words. Wars and deadly ideologies. Wars and deadly ideologies. That, by saying this, I'm summarizing everything that went on in the 20th century. Wars and that ideology. How many wars? Three wars. The First World War, the Second World War, and the Cold War. Two hot wars and one cold. And then we have ideologies. We had still the war in the Balkans, the old Yugoslavia, and we can count that in too. Kosovo, Serbia, Croatia, they were involved in very, very, very brotherly wars that killed so many. And we saw genocides there too. So that was a local war, three world wars and a local one, I could say. And the civil war in Spain, we could count it in too, the civil war in Spain between the communists and the nationalists. And there was lots of killings there too, and lots of martyrs. So this was a bloody century, the 20th century that we have just left 22 years ago, was a bloody century, the bloodiest in all human history. And so, and the ideologies, Nazism, fascism, communism, I would say capitalism too, it's an ideology, although capitalism is the natural thing, is the jungle law, is the law of the strongest. Socialism and communism was somehow a proposition to change things, but it all went wrong to a certain extent. So let us go to the First World War. The First World War killed about 12 million of people, and also it was this war that made these pandemics, these one of the first pandemics, the Spanish flu, although it didn't come from Spain, it came from China too, that the workers, that the immigrants of China to Europe and to United States. The first outbreak, it looks like even it was Boston, the first outbreak, and then all Europe and the war in Europe, the First World War in Europe, have helped to spread it around. And as a matter of fact, as we know, poor Francisco was one of the victims of that pandemics at that time. So the First World War, that killed 12 million plus 50 million, the pandemics, it is the number that we have heard already, even in recent times, comparing to these pandemics. And of course, we have to count the people that are traumatized by wars. They never make up the figures. And the ones that are wounded, without one arm, without a leg, that they live the rest of their lives with their disability. So the First World War, it pitted the Central Powers, mainly Germany, and the Austro-Hungarian Empire and Turkey, that represents the Ottoman Empire, against the Allies, France, Great Britain, Russia, Italy, Japan, and the United States, that joined in 1917. And it ended with the defeat of the Central Powers. The war was virtually unprecedented in the slaughter, carnage, and destruction it caused. And as our Blessed Mother told in July, 13 July, to the little shepherds, "A worse, this war is about to end." Indeed, it was ending in the. It started in 1914, and it ended in 1918. "This war is about to end, but a worse war. That was one of the prophecies. A much worse war is about to come." And indeed, it came in 39, from 39 to 45, the Second World War. The conflict involved virtually every part of the world during these years, 39 and 45. The principal belligerents were the Axis powers, Germany, Italy, and Japan. German, Italy, and Japan, the Austro-Hungarian Empire was finished, the Ottoman Empire was finished, so it was Germany, Italy, and Japan, and the Allies, against the Allies, France, Great Britain, the Soviet Union, and the United States in the end, that always comes in the end to twist the things for one side. That was the Allies. And China also participated a bit in the war and with the Allies, and that's why it was invaded by one of the belligerent powers, by Japan. And there was lots of suffering there in China when the Japanese army invaded China. So we have... it is calculated that this war costed around 60 million people, 60 million deaths, soldiers and civilians. So this is about this Second World War. The outbreak of the first was an assassination, was a crime. The second is I said, and I still say it, that was the conditions of peace of the First World War were not very, 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 very good. In this, the United States warned about that, and it's never good to humiliate somebody. It's never good to humiliate somebody, and Germany was humiliated, and Hitler. Hitler used that humiliation to boost his belligerent speech. And what wanted by the early part of 1939, the German dictator Adolf Hitler had become determined to invade and occupy Poland. For its part, had guarantees. But part that Poland had guarantees from France and Britain that they would support Poland in case Germany invaded it. And of course, Hitler intended to invade Poland anyway, but first he had to neutralize the possibility of the Soviet Union would resist the invasion of its Western neighbor. Secret negotiations were conducted August 23-24 in 1939, and it was signed a pact of non-aggression. Germany and Soviet Union signed the pact of non-aggression. That it means that if Germany invades Poland and Russia will not say anything, but he will want a catch of a bit of Poland. And so it was agreed that 2/3 of Poland would become Soviet Union. The other part, the eastern part of Poland, would become Germany. This was the plan that Hitler had. But of course, since Poland was helped by France and Britain, when that invasion occurred, then France and Britain declare war on Germany. And that's how the World War started. Of course, in the beginning, as we see, the Soviet Union was with Germany. Just to say, you invade Poland and we don't go in. But then Hitler, because the Poland invasion was an easy one, then he started to invade. He came and invade France, and of course he would invade Britain too. And then the Soviet Union changed their plans, and of course went in because also Germany attacked the Soviet Union too, and then Soviet Union became part of the effort to defeat Germany. So before we go into the, I would call, the Third World War, that is a Cold War, before we go into that and the division of the world in two blocks that were belligerent in this Cold War, let us talk about the ideologies, the deadly, as I call them, the deadly ideologies of the 20th century. We see Nazism. The first one is the totalism. The Nazism is the communism, the ethnic and religious genocidal and cleansing ideologies. In addition to those who died in combat in the world wars, we had millions of victims of the totalitarian regimes, the scale never seen before, the practiced ethnic cleansing, such as the extermination of the Jews, the Gypsies, and the disabled in the Nazi concentration camps. So it is the Jews, the Gypsies, and any German that was disabled. He would go to a concentration camp just because he was disabled. So that was a nasty, inhuman, cruel ideology that I wouldn't blame Nietzsche for it, but Hitler was very much inspired in the Superman of Nietzsche, and probably in the music of Wagner, in this high-pitched music of Wagner, like is almost a war music. He was inspired in that. And so that's what the Nazism has done in Germany. It's amazing that we are at the time of the reason. You know, the Germany is full of philosophers, very rational people, and yet they gave in to irrationality. In the most rational country, I would say, Germany, full of philosophers, scientists, the most rational country in the world at that time, it also became the most irrational one. That's really amazing and says a lot about human nature, that maybe was over-rationalizing things, over-rational, and when you are over-rational, you become irrational. When you are over-rational, what do I mean by that? Is that you have no feelings. You put no feelings in your thoughts. You put no feelings in your actions. You become over-rationalized, and then you become cruel. You become cruel. You become irrational, not human. So that's probably one of a way of understanding why Nazism came out of the most rational country. You look, if you go into a list of philosophers, Germany has the most philosophers in Europe, and the most scientists in Europe, and yet it happened precisely in Germany. So that makes us think that probably when you overdo rationalism, you become inhuman and you become irrational. A close ideology to Nazism is fascism. Fascism is a political ideology and a mass movement that dominated many parts of Central, Southern, and Eastern Europe between 1919 and 1945. But more than that, because the Portuguese fascisms and then all the Latin American fascisms they were throughout the whole 20th century. So there was also in South Africa, Japan, Latin America, and Middle East, Europe's first fascist leader is Benito Mussolini, took the name of his party from the Latin word fascis, which referred to a bundle of elm or birch roots, usually containing an axe, used as the symbol of penal authority in ancient Rome. Although fascist parties and movements differed significantly from one another, they had many characteristics in common, including extreme militaristic nationalism, contempt for electoral democracy and political and cultural liberalism, a belief in natural social hierarchy and the rule of elites, and the desire to create a people's community, a corporativism, in which individual interests would be subordinated to the good of the nation. So it has something in common to the communism. At the end of the World War, the major European fascist parties were broken up, and in some countries such as Italy and West Germany, they were officially banned, beginning in the late 40s, however, many fascist-oriented parties and movements were founded in Europe as well as in Latin America, that means Portugal and Spain, and all South America. Although some European neo-fascists groups attracted large followings, especially in Italy and France, none were as influential as the major fascist parties of the interwar period. There was, of course, both in Europe and Latin America, these fascist regimes, they tortured a lot. They tortured anybody that would say the word democracy. For them, it was, they would blame them as communists, and so they would persecute them. And in Latin America, we saw a lot of blood was shed by these fascist regimes in Argentina, in Central America, in Brazil, in Chile, where a democratic elected president was overturned, Allende was overturned with the help of America. North America, the United States of America, they were backing all these fascisms. They were behind these fascisms because they thought it was a way to avoid communism. Was to back up these fascisms, these dictatorships. They believed that this dictatorship was less bad than the communism. And so there was a fight between fascism and communism in Europe and Latin America and parts of Africa. And in the very same North America, North America was afraid of communism, that the communism would come to North America too. Okay, so when the militant, we thought about fascism and now we talked about communism. Communism is also an ideology, an atheistic ideology. Nazism and fascism were not atheistic, but communism, yes, it is an economic ideology that advocates for classless society in which all property and wealth are communally owned instead of owned by individuals. The communist ideology was developed by Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels and is the opposite of the capitalist one, which relies on democracy and production of capital to form a society. Prominent examples of communism were the Soviet Union, China, while the former collapsed in 1991, the later China still has... it's not real communism. It's communism as being a dictatorship, but it has also a lots of capitalism elements in it. Modern communism ideology began to develop during the French Revolution, so it goes as far as the French Revolution. The French Revolution was an important revolution, was a popular revolution and a philosophical revolution, and it went against the status quo, the established powers, especially monarchy. And the world divided in classes, the nobles, the clerics, and the people. And so they instored somehow democracy against these instituted powers. And somehow communism drinks a bit in the French Revolution. The Communist Manifesto presented the French Revolution as a major historical turning point, when the bourgeois, the merchant class that was in the process of consolidating control over the means of production, overturning the feudal power structure, the clerics and the nobles, and usher in the modern capitalist era. That revolution replaced the medieval class struggle, which pitted the nobility against the serfs, with the modern and pitting the bourgeois owners of capital against the proletariat. So that's how it comes, this ideology. The communism is indeed, as we said, our Fatima is not against communism per se, is against Fatima is not against communism as in favor of capitalism. That's the reading of America. North America reads Fatima that way, but that's not the case. Fatima is only against a small thing in communism, that is the atheistic and militant communist regime and the religious persecution. Freedom of religion was non-existent in former Soviet Union, and the satellite countries belonging to the Warsaw Pact and the various communist African countries of Chinese or Soviet orientation. Tanzania was of Chinese orientation. Ethiopia, where I lived for 7 years, was during this communist regime, was of the Soviet orientation. And I remember the day Gorbachev finished this militant atheism, and that we felt that there too the church was not persecuted anymore. For decades, this militant atheism has been persecuting the faith of every kind of religious behavior, private or public. To this day, this is still happening in China and Cuba. According to Eloy Bueno, that is a theologian from Spain, in his book The Message of Fatima, the number of martyrs in the 20th century amounted to 26 million. The 26 million, the ideological cleansing the communist regime practiced in the Siberian gulags, in China, in Vietnam, in Korea, and in all other communist countries in Europe, all the Iron Curtain countries, the church was persecuted. And so we can say these atheists, they say, well, the religious wars didn't kill as many as the atheistic ideology that killed 26 million people. 26 million people were killed ideologically by the atheists, forcing its atheism upon people, like it is still forced in China and to a lesser extent Cuba, but China still forces atheism on people and persecutes religiosity. And then we have the Cold War, an escalation of nuclear warfare and a constant threat of the world peace followed after the United States dropped the atomic bombs over the cities of Hiroshima and Nagasaki in World War II. In effect, at the end of the Cold War, the stockpile of nuclear weapons was enough to destroy the world not once but 10 times ever over. In this dismal and dark environment before the end of the First World War comes Fatima as the light of peace that is possible in a world in dismay. During her July apparition, Our Lady of Fatima forewarns that the Second World War would be worse than the first and leaves a foreseeable possibility of a third one, as she calls for the conversion of Russia in a special way for being responsible for the atheistic and militant ideologies in a general way to bring all the sinners out of hell, that this hell means not the everlasting hell, but the hell that Europe had become. So we have a world divided in two, the communist bloc, that is countries in Africa, countries in Asia, and countries in Europe, from West German divided, East German to Russia to Soviet Union. They were all communists. And then there was this row of between the United States and the Soviet Union to go into countries with their own ideology and to make to be part of. So the world was divided, ideologically was divided between capitalist countries and communist countries, both bad, because capitalism, as I used to say, is somehow the law of the jungle, especially the capitalism that we see in the United States, the capitalism of the United States. In Europe, we is still within the bloc, the capitalism bloc, but there were many social things. There were many, the communism did good things, and it changed many governments in Europe in becoming to socialist, like many socialist parts have governed Europe, making the capitalism less aggressive and less cruel. That's why we have a welfare state in Europe, and we don't have a welfare state in North America. The health of the people is guaranteed by the state. In North America, you have to care for yourself. You have to care for yourself. So that's the big difference. Both capitalism, but one less aggressive than the other. And that thing comes from communism, because many things in communism rule were right. They are more humane. What was not humane was the dictatorship. So here is, you see, the 20th century, to which century comes Fatima with a prophecy. This 20th century is a bloody, bloody, bloody century, with wars and ideologies that lead to killing too.
You have been listening to Fatima, Where Heaven and Earth Have Met, with Father George Amaro. Thank you for joining us today, and we pray that this program is an encouragement to you. Please join us here on Radio Maria Canada, where Father George Amaro will continue his teaching about our Blessed Mother and the significance of Fatima.